2015 is coming to a close quickly, and this hour we're going to take a look back at some of the best folk and classical music of the year with Iowa Public Radio's Karen Impala and Barney Sherman. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. They have made their lists and checked them twice. Karen Impala, host of Iowa Public Radio's The Folk Tree, and classical music host Barney Sherman will be here. The Folk Tree is on IPR Studio One Sundays at 1 p.m., and Karen has picked her favorite folk releases of 2015. Barney can be heard every afternoon on our IPR classical stream, and he'll give us the lowdown on recent classical releases. Join the conversation after the news. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Charity Nebbe. And before we get started today, I want to take just a moment to say thank you. We wrapped up our year-end membership drive this morning, and we were supposed to end it at 9 o'clock. We actually ended it earlier this morning, 7:50, because so many individuals had stepped forward to help us meet our goal of $150,000 during the week. I just looked at the totals, and we're now at $158,000. So thank you so much if you were one of the people who stepped forward to support Iowa Public Radio during this membership drive. Thank you if you are a sustaining member. Thank you if you are a member of Iowa Public Radio. I know you understand the importance of what you do because you've taken that important step, but thank you so much. By giving, you really do make everything we do here at Iowa Public Radio possible. We cannot do it without you, and we just can't say thank you enough. So thank you so much. Now, let's get started with the show today. 2015 is coming to a close very quickly, and we've been taking a look back at some of the very best things to come out of the year in literature and music on Talk of Iowa. You can find our lists of the best new books, the best new independent and blues music at iowapublicradio.org. This hour, we are turning our attention to folk and classical music. IPR classical music host Barney Sherman will join us later in the hour, but first, Karen Impala, host of IPR's The Folk Tree and University Concert, is here. The Folk Tree's on IPR Studio One Sundays at 1 p.m. Hello, Karen.
Good morning. Good morning. I was up quite early this morning wearing a classical music hat and doing some fundraising. Now I've put my folk music hat on.
Wonderful. Which looks like what, Karen?
Actually, it's a metaphorical hat. It doesn't actually look like anything.
I guessed that.
I suppose it could be a straw hat, or it could be, I don't know, it could be a feed cap.
It's folk music. You could wear whatever you want.
That's true.
So we asked you to put together a list of the best folk music from 2015. We asked you to pick 10, which I know is very hard. And did you put your list in order of your favorites?
I did. And the first thing on the list is Rhiannon Giddens. She is a member of the Carolina Chocolate Drops, who I play a lot, and who play very traditional Southern old-timey music. But she's got her first solo album, which has a whole wide range of things. She is classically trained, but she obviously is very attuned to traditional styles, and especially African-American traditional styles. And this song has a lot of different things on it. But the track I picked is originally from the gospel singer Sister Rosetta Tharpe, who recorded in the 1940s, and she was kind of an influence on early rock and roll. Anyway, this is Rhiannon Giddens doing Up Above My Head. Just a little bit of Up Above My Head from Tomorrow Is My Turn. So the first solo album
from Rhiannon Giddens.
Right.
And now just to make sure I'm clear, I asked you if you put your list in order. That was your favorite new release of the year?
Yes, I think so.
All right. We're starting with
it
number
was hard.
One.
You know, my original list had like 23 things on it. It was hard to weed it down, and it was also hard to put it in order. But I managed. I picked the ones I most wanted to get fit into the program.
Well, and that was a wonderful track, and it must be exciting to hear someone from such a terrific group go solo and really fulfill your expectations.
Right, right, yeah. And to do a much wider range of things than I just knocked over my coffee. It's been a long morning already.
Oh, no, Karen. Well, let's talk about number two.
Anyway, number two is Iris DeMent. Her new album is called The Trackless Woods. And it's a concept that sounds very strange when you hear about it. Iris DeMent, who is a very influenced by country and white gospel music, she has taken poems by the Russian writer Anna Akhmatova and set them to music. And it somehow fits better than you would think it would.
And of course, she's a big Iowa favorite.
We get
to see her a lot.
That's right. She's an Iowa person. And anyway, the track I picked somehow these poems originally rhymed in Russian, and the translations also rhyme. And I think it's easier to find rhymes in Russian. I think they end up being a slightly more sort of formal language in the translations than they are in Russian, because you kind of have to rearrange the sentences to make them rhyme. I could be totally wrong about that, but that's my impression. But anyway, and the melodies she's put to them, they end up sounding like sort of like 19th century American hymns or something to me. Very, you know, like rural hymns or something. The track we're going to hear is called Not With Deserters, and it's got Iris's husband, Greg Brown, doing some harmony vocals on it.
Not with deserters from the battle that tears my land, do I belong? To their coarse praise I do not listen. They shall not have from me one song. Poor exile, you are like a prisoner to me.
Just a taste of Not With Deserters, and I faded out just as we were hearing Greg Brown come in with those harmonies. But that was from The Trackless Woods, Iris DeMent. And what a unique concept. That's so beautiful, too.
Mm-hmm. All right. I did not hear. She was on Fresh Air not that long ago and was actually here in Cedar Falls to record that. And I haven't gotten a chance to listen to that yet.
You'll have to go
back.
A treat on your list to come.
That's right.
All right. What's number third on your list?
Third is Jamie Stone's Lomax Project. Jamie Stone is a Canadian banjo player, but he doesn't even appear on every track on this album. He kind of got together a group of musical friends, and it's a tribute to Alan Lomax. Tribute albums are actually kind of a theme in the next few selections here. Alan Lomax and his father, John Lomax, were American folklorists who are responsible for collecting and finding a lot of the stuff that we now know as folk music and songs that just everybody knows. Probably would have never, you know, sort of made it out of the backwoods or whatever had it not been for John and Alan Lomax. Alan Lomax was born 100 years ago this year, so this is a tribute to him. And there's so many different things on this album. He collected stuff in the Appalachians, in the South. He even went to the British Isles. He collected thing in the Caribbean. He collected things from all over the world, and they're all represented on here. The song we're going
to
hear...
So it was hard to pick something.
Yes,
is
it
what
was
I'm hearing
definitely
there.
Hard to pick something. And I picked one song and then changed my mind. Anyway, the song we're going to hear was collected from a singer in Virginia, but it's one of those ballads that has its roots in the British Isles. It's called The Devil's Nine Questions, and it's got a very sort of snazzy arrangement with kind of syncopated rhythm and hand percussion, and it's just wonderful to listen to.
Now your man done gone.
No, that's the wrong song.
Oh, that's not the
now
right song.
The other song.
Gone.
All right, let's fade
that's
that.
That's the song
up.
I was going to pick,
but we chose
the other one.
Okay, we may not have
may not
access
have
to the other one.
Oh, okay. Well, that one was called The Devil's Nine Questions. That one was called Now Your Man Done Gone, and it's kind of a blues song.
All right, anyway, and that's from the same album.
Yes.
So, you know
yes,
what? Let's listen to a little bit of that one, since
right,
we don't have the one that you ended up picking in the end. So, here we go.
Now your man done gone. Now your man done gone. Oh, now your man done gone to the county farm. Oh, now your man done gone. Baby, please don't go. Baby, please don't go. Oh, baby, please don't go. Way down to Baltimore. Oh, baby, please don't go. Turn your lamp down low. Turn your lamp down low.
All right, very different from what we were leading up to, but that kind of underscores your point that there's
exactly
a huge variety on
exactly
this album.
Exactly. That was, by the way, Bruce Molsky and Margaret Glasby doing the singing. And that was collected from a man named Willie Turner, who was on a prison work gang in Alabama. And I suppose, you know, I don't know, there probably are some ethical issues with whether the people these songs were collected from ever received any profit, although I don't think John and Alan Lomax ever got a whole lot of profit, although they did partly make a living going around collecting songs. It was part of the WPA during the Depression.
But if they hadn't done that work, these songs would have been lost.
That's true. That's very true. The next thing is a tribute album to Ewan McCall. It's called The Joy of Living. And Ewan McCall was also born in 1915.
And you know, Karen, we're going to come up on a break here, so maybe we should get a preview, listen to the song for about a minute, and then we can hear it a little bit more of it and talk about it when we get back from the break.
Right.
So tell me the name of the song.
The song is called The Shoals of Herring, and it's from a tribute album to Ewan McCall, and it's sung by Seth Lakeman.
The nets and gear we're faring on the wild and the wasteful ocean. It's there on the deep that we harvest and reap our bread as we hunt the bonny shoals of heaven. It was a find and a pleasure.
Just a little bit of Shoals of Herring, sung by Seth Lakeman, and we'll talk more about that in a moment as we find out more about the best new folk music of 2015. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. And during the past month, we've been taking some time out to look back on some of the really wonderful things that have come out of the year 2015. We've talked about the best new books from 2015 for adults and for kids. We've talked about the best new independent music, the best new blues music. This hour, we're focusing on the best new folk music and the best new classical. And with me right now is Karen Impala, host of Iowa Public Radio's The Folk Tree, which can be heard on Sundays at 1 p.m. And Karen, so before we had to time things out, but we got to hear a little bit of that song, Shoals of Herring, sung by Seth Lakeman. And that's from a tribute album. Tell me a little bit more about
it. The album is called The Joy of Living. It's a tribute to Ewan McCall. And I could probably talk for the entire program about Ewan McCall, but he was from England. His parents were Scottish, so he had a big repertoire of traditional Scottish music. He also was kind of a folklorist and a song collector, and he also did political theater. He was a playwright. And in the late 50s and early 60s, he and his partner Peggy Seeger did something called the Radio Ballads, and it was really kind of I think there are six of them. They were half-hour radio shows on the BBC, and they were really groundbreaking. They interviewed people in various professions or various traditions and used their words together with some traditional songs and some songs that Ewan wrote, like that one we just heard. And it was really kind of revolutionary. I think it was one of the first times in radio production that where they used the actual voices of people, you know, what we call actualities. And they were all these working people's voices, you know, very different from the sort of proper BBC English that you normally heard on the radio. And that song was written by Ewan McCall, but it was based on his interviews with a fisherman named Sam Larner, who was also a very fine traditional singer himself, knew a lot of traditional songs. And apparently Ewan wrote that song and played it for Sam Larner, and who said, "I feel like I've known that song all my life," because he took some of Sam's words and you know, kind of told his life story with them.
Oh, so this sounds like this album has
some, yeah, it has some great people on it too. It's also got Martin Carthy and Billy Bragg and Rufus and Martha Wainwright, a bunch of great people. It's great. It's a double album. It's wonderful.
All right. So Joy of Living, a tribute to Ewan McCall.
Right.
And let's move on to number five.
Next up is the Earls of Leicester, which is kind of an all-star bluegrass album. And it's a tribute to, as you might guess from the title, Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs. And so it's a bunch of, you know, modern bluegrass people, Jerry Douglas, Tim O'Brien, Johnny Warren, who is actually the son of Flatt and Scruggs' original fiddle player. And so they do songs from Flatt and Scruggs, who were, along with Bill Monroe, kind of responsible for inventing bluegrass. And we're going to hear a song called Till the End of the World Rolls Around.
Maybe we are.
Maybe we are.
It's coming.
Are we ready?
I think so.
I didn't give you enough warning.
Oh, no. That's fine. We're having just a few issues with the board today, it seems to be. Oh, here we go.
Till the end of the world rolls round, I'll keep on loving you. As long as the sun goes up and comes down and the big blue sky comes down to the ground. Long as the world goes round and around, I'll keep on loving you. I tried to sail the sea in life, I rode my boat alone. Your love meant nothing to me, dear, my heart was made of stone. To a harbor filled with loneliness, my little boat was moored. And then the day I first met you, I fell right overboard. Till the end of the world rolls round.
Till the end of the world rolls around, the Earls of Leicester. That is so much fun, Karen.
It is. Tim O'Brien appears on a couple of the different albums that I picked on this list. He has a new album out, and I was like, oh, how can I not pick a new Tim O'Brien album because he's so good? But he appears on the Jamie Stone one, and he's on this album.
Nice.
Anyway.
All right. Number six.
Next up is Katie Dahl, and she is a singer-songwriter from Door County, Wisconsin. And I was not familiar with her until about a couple of months ago when I attended something called the Folk Alliance Midwest Regional Conference, which happened in Iowa City. And she was there, and I was very impressed. I got to hear her live and talk to her a bit. And her newest album is called Ordinary Band, and she's very Midwestern, and she's obviously a Wisconsin native. And her songwriting is just very kind of subtle, but very clever but at the same time, very sincere. You won't get to hear all of this song enough to hear what the final point of it is, but it's kind of about the perils of, I guess, excessive nationalism or something. Mm. It's called Bicentennial.
Some fireworks on the bicentennial, on the bicentennial, up by Manistee. Yeah, your parents lit some fireworks on the bicentennial in that little blue tent. America found its way into your blood. It made its way into your blood that night by Manistee. And I think America.
Just a little bit of Bicentennial, Katie Dahl, from the album Ordinary Band. I want to hear more, but. But we have to move on to number seven.
All right. And number seven, obviously I have a bias toward traditional roots music. This is Jesse Milnes and Emily Miller, who are a duo very much steeped in old-timey music. They both play fiddle and both play guitar on this track. We're hearing Jesse play the fiddle and Emily play the guitar. They harmonize wonderfully. This is a live album. It was recorded at a house concert series at a place called the Deep End Ranch in Santa Paula, California. So it's the album title is Jesse Milnes and Emily Miller Deep End Sessions Volume 2. Now, it's their first album as a duo, but Volume 1 of the Deep End Sessions is somebody else doing a house concert at this same place. So it's a little confusing there.
All right. This is Fun's All Over. All right. Well, the fun is clearly not all over, but it's
right.
called The Fun's All okay. Over. That's wonderful. Jesse Milnes and Emily Miller from the Deep End Sessions Volume 2. And we're running short on time, Karen, so quickly on
One
to number
more?
Eight.
Okay.
I think two more.
All right. Good. Okay. The other thing I have a weakness for is French-Canadian music. And this is a band called Le Vent du Nord, Wind from the North. And they've been around for many years, but for some reason this is the first time one of their albums has gotten sent to us here at Iowa Public Radio. The album is called Tetu, T-E-T-U. It apparently means stubborn. And this song is called Papineau. And it's apparently, my French is not quite up to par, but from the liner notes, it's apparently a story from Canadian history, but the song doesn't tell it the way it really happened, so don't take it as fact.
If you're a French speaker.
Right.
All right,
right,
let's listen. Dum da dee la dee la dum da dee la dee lee dum da dee la dee la dum ba da dee la dum dum da dee la dee la dum da dee la dee lee dum da dee la dee la dum ba da dee la dum ta ya dum da ya dee dee dum ba ya na dum ta ya dum da ya dee dee dum ba da dee la dum ta ya dum da ya dee dee dum ba ya na dum ta ya dum da ya dee dee dum ba da dee la dum All right. No, that's just a tiny scrap of that song. But
right.
I don't have to speak French to enjoy that. That's
right,
wonderful.
Right.
All right.
Okay. Next on the list is Charlie Parr. He's from Minnesota. And he's got a number of albums out, but this is the first time he's on a quote unquote major label, as folk labels go. Red House Records is kind of a major label, if any folk label can be called major. Anyway, the album is called Stump Jumper, and he's somebody who's very influenced by great country blues performers, but he puts his own spin on it. And this track is called Empty Out Your Pockets, and I played it last week during the fundraising edition of the Folk Tree.
Nice.
I wanted people to do that.
Can't get to heaven, man, can't hold that low.
Just a little bit of Empty Out Your Pockets, Charlie Parr from Stump Jumper. And we don't have time, but you can tell us about
the last thing on the list is two wonderful guitarists, Beppe Gambetta, who's from Italy, and Tony McManus, who is from Scotland. And they have an album of guitar duets called Round Trip. It's got some Celtic and some Italian and some stuff from all over the place.
All right. Well, that sounds fabulous. Karen, thank you so much
for talking
with us today. And of course, we will put this entire list up on our website, iowapublicradio.org. Look for Talk of Iowa. And Karen Impala is the host of Iowa Public Radio's The Folk Tree and University Concert. You can hear The Folk Tree Sunday afternoons at 1 p.m. And now we're going to turn our attention to classical music from 2015. And Barney Sherman is here with us now. Hello, Barney.
Hi, Charity.
And of course, you can hear Barney Sherman in the afternoons, weekday afternoons on Iowa Public Radio Classical. And Barney, I know that putting together a top 10 list was not only difficult for you, it was absolutely impossible.
That's correct.
Because I didn't receive a top 10 list, did I?
It's been too good a year. I remember 20 years ago, somebody published a book called Who Killed Classical Music? And it was obvious to him that the classical record industry was dying fast. But the exact opposite happened. It's exploding. It's a renaissance. So first of all, there's no way one person can keep up. And second, even when you do, getting it down to 10 is, impossible.
Absolutely. And we'll publish the entire 15 that you did send along, but we're gonna try to keep it to 10 on the air today. And is your list in any particular order?
It is, yeah. I thought I'd begin with an example of the explosion. Bach's Suites for Solo Cello. When I was a kid in that decade, three recordings came out, a total. Well, now when your kids are young, Charity, we're getting 8 new recordings every year.
Wow.
So no possible way to even keep up with all of that or know what's best. But every now and then, one of them really jumps out at me. And this is by a guy named David Watkin, who has been keeping very much up to date with the latest scholarship. And he actually plays this excerpt on a 5-string cello of a sort that Bach wrote for that's gone out of style. But he goes way beyond all the knowledge, goes very deep into the heart and the humanity of it. And I will be returning to this one for years.
All right. All right, that's just a little bit from the Cello Suites, J.S. Bach, David Watkin's version, and you said that was on a 5-string cello.
That's right.
Oh, how fun. That's really great. All right, and I know we have so many to talk to. We won't linger. Let's go to number 2 on your list.
Kevin Putz, an American composer, became the head of the Minnesota Composers Forum this year, and he's typical of something going on in American composing. He says that his number one concern is communicating with the audience so that we can feel it, we can follow it. Well, he's written some big works. He won a Pulitzer a few years ago for an opera. But I'm picking a CD of modest instrumental pieces of his played by the Bridgehampton Chamber Music Festival. The title track is called Seascapes. I love it when composers do nature, and there's some pieces called airs that let the different instruments sing. But I'm going to focus on a piece called Rounds for Robin. It's a memorial to Robin Williams. Now, I was afraid that it might sound a little overdone or maudlin, but what Kevin Putz does for me is perfect, because instead of a lament, it tries to embody something of Robin Williams' spirit and humor, but also the undertone. And by the way, I didn't realize it, but the first 3 notes are from the Mork and Mindy theme. So here it is. It's played by Maria Martin on the flute and a pianist who was born in Iowa City named Orion Weiss.
All right, that's just a little bit from the Rounds for Robin. Just such a tease of that piece, but it really made me want to hear more.
Oh, yeah, it's a great CD. And anyway, shall we go to number three on the list?
I'll just repeat. That's Kevin Putz and Seascapes, Bridgehampton Chamber Music Festival. And again, that one was Rounds for Robin, a tribute to Robin Williams. And you can start to give us a little bit of a preview of the next one, but we're not going to have time to play it before we get to the break. So tell us what's coming up.
Stephen Sondheim had a big year. He turned 85. He got the Presidential Medal of Freedom. Into the Woods became a Hollywood hit, and he even let slip that he's working on a new musical. Well, this is a big 3D CD classical set called Liaisons, Reimagining Sondheim from the Piano. It started 10 years ago when Sondheim was a kid of 75. This pianist, Anthony Damari, commissioned 36 composers from many genres and age groups to just re-envision Sondheim's music. And some of them are very far from the original, but I've picked a really beautiful piece based on my favorite
and
song.
You Are Not Alone. Will play it when we get back from the break. I'm talking with Barney Sherman, host of IPR Classical. You can hear him in the afternoons on weekdays, and we're talking about the best new classical music of 2015. This is Talk of Iowa. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're looking back at the best new classical music of 2015. We've already talked about the best new folk music of 2015 with Karen Impala, but with me now, IPR Classical Music host Barney Sherman. You can hear him in the afternoons on IPR Classical. And before the break, you were talking about a song from Fred Hirsch. And so just remind us again. Barney, are you there?
And it's very, in this case, you can really hear the original, You Are Not Alone.
That was No One Is Alone from Liaisons, Reimagining Sondheim from the Piano, played by pianist Anthony Damari. And what's next on your list, Barney?
Rachmaninoff. Now, I rarely get excited about a new recording of the Rhapsody on a theme of Paganini, even though I love the piece. But there are hundreds of recordings. But this is really special. A pianist named Daniil Trifonov has won the biggest gold medals in piano playing, the Tchaikovsky, the Rubinstein, but here's the interesting thing. He lives now in Cleveland. He's from Russia. He's getting a graduate degree in composing. So not only does he play this piece, and his playing is just magical, and there's this wonderful sense of exchange with the orchestra, but there's also, in addition to all the Rachmaninoff, a piece he composed in the style of Rachmaninoff. So that breakdown of some people playing and some people writing, we're getting a kind of less of that division of labor, and Daniil Trifonov is a great example. He's here with the Philadelphia Orchestra.
All right, just a very little taste there. So do you think this is a new trend in classical music where we'll hear almost hybrids or tributes?
Definitely. I think that nobody would have done this 20 years ago.
It would have been blasphemic.
Yeah, it would have been wrong. And also, people just did their specific thing. And I think the next CD really shows these barriers breaking down. Okay, it's
all
called
right.
Clockworking. It's by a group called Nordic Affect. Now, this breaks all kinds of boundaries. First of them is the gender barrier. The famous composers are almost all men. And here is a disc from Finland, a country of just 300,000 people, with five women composers. So it's fewer people than Polk County, five composers. It's been called the per capita capital of the world,
Iceland. Wow.
So they probably have this particular one. A second boundary it breaks down is that boundary between classical music and serious indie or pop music, it's never existed there. Most of these composers have worked with Björk or Sigur Rós. One of them has her own band, and that's a trend that's happening in the U.S. too, but it's been that way there for a while. And they play Baroque instruments, but new music. And the other thing is that classical music, since Beethoven, has focused on the idea of the individual solitary genius. And here on this disc, I get a sense of a scene, of a kind of a group effort. So anyway, the sample is from a woman who's actually received a lot of attention this year as a composer, Anna Torvalds' daughter. She was named the New York Philharmonic's Kravis Emerging Composer. Here is a piece of hers called Shades of Silence.
Just a taste of Shades of Silence. And that does certainly bring a scene to mind, doesn't it?
Makes you feel like you're in Iceland almost. At least yeah. I sense what it might be like there.
If I have to guess, yes. All right. And I'm going, because you said her name so beautifully, repeat the name of the artist, and
I don't know this is right, but I say Anna Torvalds' daughter, probably saying it wrong, but it's from a CD called Clockworking by Nordic Affect.
All right. And what's next on your list, Barney?
The Bieber fever. Apparently a big year for Justin Bieber. He set a record for simultaneous hits in the Billboard Top 100. But in the classical world, the Bieber fever was for an earlier one, Heinrich Bieber, the biggest musician in Salzburg in the 1600s, born in the Czech Republic. Several great Bieber discs, but I'm picking one of his Salzburg Mass. And that has a place of its own in the record books because it has 54 separate parts. No other work of that era has quite so many notes in it. The manuscript fills 7 square feet. It was rediscovered by a grocer who was about to wrap vegetables in it in 1870. And with all those notes, many performances sound kind of overblown. But this one is beautiful, subtle, deep emotion and beauty. It's by a great Catalan musician named Jordi Savall. And the 54 musicians are spread around different parts of the cathedral, and you can actually hear that on the even on 2 channels.
Oh, how interesting. Yeah. You really do feel surrounded by that music.
Yeah, that was the text, Grant Us Peace, so all the more.
All right. Heinrich Bieber, and no more Justin Bieber show and jokes.
Okay, I'll stop with that, thank you.
All right, and what's next on your list, Barney?
Verdi, Aida, one of the things that was supposed to have been dead was major record companies recording operas with top stars in the studios, but it happened this year. Warner recorded Verdi's Aida, Antonio Pappano conducting, Jonas Kaufmann singing, and it's sensational. Here's Celeste Aida.
All right, just a taste of Aida. So what do you think is changing in the world of opera that led to this album being produced?
That the classical record industry is strong enough that Warner had no hesitation. Also, just the quality of the performers is so high, and that actually brings me to my next CD.
Well, before you move on to your next CD, let me ask you this. With classical music, are music lovers more likely to actually purchase the physical album, a CD, because they want that fuller, richer sound? Is that part of why this area of the music industry hasn't maybe changed as much as other areas where downloads are more common?
I actually don't totally know that, but yeah, CDs are definitely more likely to be sold among classical lovers. But the download trend is happening, and in fact, Apple just last night improved the way they present classical music on iTunes. So,
all right,
a lot of our complaints are being addressed.
All right, well, let's move on to number 8 on your list.
Well, the same guy, Antonio Pappano, sounds Italian, actually English, and spent his teens in Connecticut, has a New York accent, with Joyce DiDonato, sounds Italian, but she's from Kansas. They did a recital together at Wigmore Hall, and they released it with the title Joyce and Tony at the Wigmore. And the first half is Italian, the second is English language, including some silly Tin Pan Alley songs, and they have such a great time, and so does the audience. This clip is from an Irving Berlin tune called I Love a Piano.
Right.
And after Joyce, you'll hear Tony riffing at the piano, and then he actually shouts out a name, Gil Hooley, which is one of his colleagues at the Royal Opera House. The audience cracks up.
All right. Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. I want to hear more of that one, too. So that was I Love a Piano. And tell me again about who was involved in that one.
Joyce DiDonato and Antonio Pappano. Joyce and Tony at the Wigmore.
All right. What's next?
Rachel Barton Pine. She's a violinist from Chicago. She's played in Ames the last couple of years and had 3 big CDs out this year. And it's a new level for her as a musician. She put out the Mozart concertos with a major orchestra and 2 that she played on early instruments. So she's a person with no boundaries. She also plays in a heavy metal band. I didn't sample that, I got to admit.
Anyway, maybe next time.
Maybe next time. I'm picking a Vivaldi disc, and she plays it on an old instrument called a viola d'amore, a viola of love, which is a viola with sympathetic strings that just vibrate. So this is a track she's playing with a great lutenist named Hopkinson Smith.
Right, just a little sample there, Vivaldi, played by Rachel Barton Pine and Hopkinson Smith. And what's next on your list, Barney?
Well, I have a compilation of music of Arvo Pärt, an Estonian, turned 80 this year. 40 years ago, under Soviet rule, he came up with a solution to his musical problems. He was tired of modernism, and it was the sound of bells that gave him a new way of going back to the fundamentals, a new way of writing music. Consonant moves slowly. It's called holy minimalism sometimes. He's become the most performed classical composer. When I play his music, I often get calls from listeners asking me what that piece was. There were a lot of great Arvo Pärt CDs for his 80th birthday, but I picked one put together by Manfred Eicher, who, as the founder of ECM Records, was the first producer to really take a chance on Arvo Pärt. It gives you a really complete sense of the range of his music.
Just a taste of Arvo Pärt, Cantus in Memory of Benjamin Britten. And I did not think that you could make it through all 10, Barney. I know you were very sparing in the clips that you've shared with us, but that means that since you couldn't pare it down to 10, you get to talk a little bit more about some of the other ones on your list. So
well,
what's next?
maybe we'll skip the next example. It's by a guy named William Laws. It's his Royal Consorts. They're basically dance-based, but they go way beyond dance. I cannot get enough 1600s instrumental music, and this is such a rich, beautiful sound. It's by a group called Phantasm.
All right, William Laws, and that was Phantasm. What's next, Barney?
I feel guilty putting two Bach CDs in my top 20, but I'm actually planning to do a top Bach of 2015 post, so here we go. I think this would make a great stocking stuffer. It's a reconstruction of Bach's first Christmas service in Leipzig with the Dunedin Consort. It's so joyful, and it's this golden sound. This little excerpt, the text is, "The branch of Jesse has flourished," and the music sounds like a branch flowering. Here it is.
All right, so that's a recreation of a Christmas service?
Yeah, actually Bach's first Christmas, and it is just, it'll make anybody happy on Christmas
Day. All right, Barney Sherman guarantees it. All right, you have time, I think, for at least one more.
Well, I was going to mention Tchaikovsky. If you're a Monty Python fan, you've seen the sketch with the pianist banging out the first chords while escaping from a burlap bag. But it turns out Tchaikovsky actually wrote a different opening. The chords are supposed to be strummed like a harp, and a pianist named Kirill Gerstein, who played in Iowa recently, recorded it for the first time that way.
Not played from a burlap bag. That was beautiful.
Isn't it?
I don't think I've ever heard that on the harp.
It sounds like a harp, and that's what Tchaikovsky wanted it to sound like, but it was actually a piano.
Interesting. All right, you do have time. Go ahead, Barney. What's next?
Okay, well, coming up, one of them is a great new recording of Beethoven symphonies. I'm usually pretty not interested in more Beethoven. I'm going to play this on my show this afternoon, Charity.
Okay. And also, we're going to play out with it. So tell us about it, and then I'm going to say thank you. Thank you so much for sharing this list with us, and we will put it up on our website, iowapublicradio.org. Okay, so briefly.
Well, I thought what I'd play out is Giovanni Valentini, played by a group called Acronym. He was the biggest name in Vienna in the early 1600s, and this is the first recording of his music. It's wonderful.
All right. Thanks, Barney.
Thank you, Charity.
This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.